Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
Turn to Genesis chapter 1 just for a moment. We're going to try to look things over. We're going to do one of those big picture sermons today. I'm calling this Becoming God, and I think you'll understand why in just a little bit. This Sunday and next Sunday will be a series on Becoming God. Today I hope to share with you why that changed. Next week I hope to show you what God's real plan is for each of us, what God's really going to be doing. And I think you're going to find it a good topic to look at, all right? In Genesis chapter 1, the verse that we'll be looking at is just a very familiar one to us all. It's 26 through 28, where it said this: "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So I'm going to stop right there and just say, what was it God had in mind for that person? That whoever he's making in his likeness, they were to have dominion. That's the biggie right there. And that dominion is supposed to be dominion just like he has. They are going to be his image. So they are going to be doing what he does. Let me go on further with you. 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" All right. In order for us to understand what God's planning to do, we go all the way back here to creation, and we look, we see that God was, Moses is writing for us in that book, showing us that day by day what God did in making this creation, this world full of order, how he's taking anything that looks chaotic, he's changing it all and bringing it into an orderly system. And he is preparing that, he says, in order that some creature he's about to make is going to be taking care of the whole thing. They're going to be stewards of the whole thing. They're going to have dominion over the whole thing. And what's more, they're going to subdue that thing. He's got two areas that he's going to create. He's got one area he's going to call the Garden of Eden. He's got this temple area. That's a beautiful, beautiful place. Then he's got an area where he actually created the male in that. It's called the wilderness. So he's got a wilderness and this garden. The woman's going to be created in the garden, in that temple area. The man is created in the wilderness area. And he's going to bring the man into the garden. He's going to give him a task to do in there. And what that man and woman would be a team that works together to have dominion over this whole created thing. Now, dominion doesn't mean that they're beating it up. They're being brutes to it at all. What they're doing, they're making sure that everything that's in that garden is maintained properly all the time. Why? Because everything that's in that garden is eating the vegetation that's in there. So he's going to make sure that the whole place is cared for. He's going to make sure that the animals get what they need, the people get what they need. He's going to make sure the water flows correctly. He's going to make sure he's going to do all of that. And as they have children, those children then are going to subdue the rest of it. So they're going to go outside that garden. They're going to go into that wilderness area, and they're going to repeat the garden. Everybody follow where I'm coming from? They're going to take that garden area, and they're going to start making it extended. They're going to fill the whole earth with that glory. By the way, if I can say this, just jumping ahead in time. I'm a time traveler. I'm coming out here. What's the new heavens and the earth look like? They are already full of the glory of God. You follow where I'm at? What we were supposed to do back here, he's already done up there. So he's got this people right here to have dominion, and they are in his image. They are co-laborers with God. There is something about who they are. That's why God told us, don't make images of him. We are the image. It would be a wrong thing for us to make something that is the image of God when you already are the image of God. You're creating something fake, something false, something untrue. You are the image of that God. Right? So you're co-laborers with Him. He's got you full of His Holy Spirit. You are working with God. If I can say it, you're about as close to being God's as you're ever going to be. Right there. That Adam and Eve were about as close to God's ever going to be. Does that make sense to you? So this is what they have. It's when they sinned that glory is changed. Oh, the image is now defaced, marred, if you would. But the glory is changed. We lost the glory. And what I want to share with you now, what we have been doing ever since this time here, is trying to get the glory back. Now, go to Genesis 3. So our outline says simply this, dominion's in the place of God, and God, we're sharing a divine nature. In other words, God's leaving the earth for us to be taken care of. He is giving it to us as a stewardship. Does that mean He's not doing anything? Are you kidding? No. It doesn't mean He's not doing anything. How are all things upheld in that garden? By His Word. That's what the Scriptures tell us. The very person that He used to, Jesus makes this whole thing. The second person is making through Him all these things are made. And it tells us in the Word of God that Jesus, the Word of God, is holding the whole thing together. That's what makes all the processes work. That's what makes the xylem and the phloem work in a tree. That's what makes all the ground systems work. That's what makes all the bacteria work. That's why it all works together as an interdependent symbiotic system. And it's His Word that's doing all that. It's His Word that tells critters where they've got more food to get. If all what I'm saying, it's Him that's telling them the salmon when you got to run up. It's Him that's giving them all the advice. You want to read that? Just read the last three chapters of Job. Fantastic material as he talks about what He does in this world. Read Psalm 104. Tells what He does in this world. All right. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, well, let me just go ahead and finish the outline. Shared team ministry with God in making the earth full of the glory of God. The whole earth is His temple. So what's He do? He creates a man and a woman. They're both in His image. The man and the woman were to work together. And what they're going to do in their marriage is working together to reveal the glory of God. What they're going to do, they're going to do things together as husband and wife the same way Father, Son, and Holy Spirit do. Everybody follow where I'm at? So the same way Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work together to create all things, the man and the woman with the Holy Spirit are going to work to maintain all those things. They're the stewards. That's what's supposed to be going on. So they have this shared ministry. God's leaving it with us. Now, just so you'll remember, in heaven He did the same thing. Only there He made angels taking care of that part of heaven. So He gave angels authority there in the cosmos. He gave us authority on the earth. Make sense? That's His orderly system. So you wind up having a kingdom of heaven and a kingdom of earth that are jointly combined because we're ministering with angels. We're ministering with other people. We're all ministering together in what's called the kingdom of God. Fair enough? All right, let's go on. I want to talk to you about the lie and its destruction. In Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, turn the page, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." There's the lie. Now watch what he goes on to say. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now kids, here's where you're going to have to start asking your first question. When you are top dog already on the whole entire planet, and all the beasts of the field, all the bugs, all the bacteria, all the birds, everything looks to you for their care. What more are you needing? That sounds like a pretty good load to me. It sounds like a pretty big responsibility and a lot of authority. You have the authority to take care of all of these as God's representative right here on the earth. How is this a temptation? Here's the lie. You shall not surely die, but what? You'll be God. God's wanting to keep you from being equal to Him. He's made you subservient to Him. Here is something you could do that would raise you in a divinity level. This could put you on a whole new deity level. Everybody see where we're at? That's the lie. Now, I'm going to share that with you as we go a little further along through here. He says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So the glory that once had covered them, whatever it was that was covering them before, wasn't there anymore. As soon as they did this disobedient thing, which came out of greed, I want to be more like who He is. Now, as soon as they had changed their trust from the one who said, don't eat, to the one who said, do eat, that's the sin. That's the sin. Now, they're going to follow through and do the work of the sin. But it's when your heart changes from trusting one thing to another thing that the sin comes. The sin is not trusting God. You say, why are you so concerned about that? Because we talk about judging people based on what they do. God judges people on what they trust. If you remember back here, one of those little patriarchs, a guy named Abraham, he believed God and what? It was counted to him as righteousness. God determines your destiny on what you trust, not what you do. You will do whatever you trust. You follow that? You will do what you trust in. Whatever you think is the authority, you're going to follow that authority. And if you think the authority is you, you're going to follow that authority. And unless you are the same as the Holy God, you're going to come up short of the glory of God who created this whole thing. It is when this thing took place, this sin of distrust took place, that the clock starts for needing a last days. Will this thing ever end? Once they get started with this, is there any way to stop it? That's why, kids, you've got prophecy that takes us down to tell us, here's the last days. There is an end to this thing. It is terminable. It will terminate. Yes, there's a lot of suffering in between here and there, but I'm telling you, it does terminate. And I am going to purify this thing, says the Lord. I am going to bring it back to what I intended in the first place. But I've got a lot of things to take care of in there. All right? So let's just take a look. I want to show you some things that I found most interesting. What this lie is, there's no need to share anything. You can be divine. You can be your own boss. You can be your own leader. You can determine your own destiny. You can do all things for yourself independent of God. You don't need God. That's the lie. And it won't make any difference what field of study that's in, what part of life that's in, however you're high on that thing on the social ladder, or you're down at the very bottom. It's about what you're trusting, kids. It's about what you're trusting. If the guy at the highest end with all the power in the world trusts in himself alone, it's to himself he has to give an answer, and the day comes when the Creator calls him into account for what he did, and he's lost. Fully condemned. If the guy at the low end of the thing who's got nothing trusts God, then when the whole judgment comes about, he's judged worthy to go in with God because he trusted God. Does that make any sense to you? That's why Jesus said that whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. Not whoever does the right stuff. All right, here we go. Let's take a look at the first one. Since that time, since right back here, when Adam and Eve had a desire to be God, a desire to be something they weren't, something they already had. You follow what I'm coming? Since that time, we have been doing everything we can to get back to that divinity, to get back to being the gods we think we're supposed to. Some of you, if you're old enough, will remember when Woodstock rolled around. What was Woodstock supposed to be about? In the song, it said, you are gold dust, you are stardust. We got to get back to the garden. Got to get back to the garden. Even there, among young hippies, they knew that something's off. Something needs to be changed. And they were thinking, here, if we can just get together and all this mud and slime and grime and just do all kinds of fun things with no inhibitions, and we've got somebody to play to us all the time, we will have achieved divinity. I'm amazed now. And what really got me started on this was there's a new attempt now called transhumanism. I'm sure many of you have heard it already. Transhumanism is the ability to go beyond what it means to be a human. In other words, it's a scientific way of saying, we got to get back to the garden. We got to get our divinity back again. You say, who would ever believe in something like that? Elon Musk. Tesla guy. He believes in that. Believe me, there are lots of very rich, elite people who are holding on to transhumanism. I'll get to that in just a little bit. But let me show you how we've been trying to do it all this time. All right? Our first attempt was chemically. Chemically. You say, what? Chemically? How's that? So what do they do here? Verse 6 of Genesis 3 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open. What happened? Using a chemical, using some chemistry here, whatever was in that plant, they thought that eating what was in that plant would change them. They would be God. They would be equal with God. Everybody see where I'm coming from? And may I say, all kinds of drugs have been used since then. All kinds of things have been used to get you to a higher state of existence. How many of you are old enough to remember who Timothy Leary was? All right. Timothy Leary was a psychologist who was working with a drug that someone else had worked with. It was Thomas Huxley and Julian Huxley, I believe, have been working with a drug called LSD. And that drug, LSD, was to expand your mind. It was to bring you into a whole new world of existence. That you would know and understand things you couldn't understand before. Don Carlos, and I think his name was Castaneda, or maybe, I don't remember his name exactly. He wrote a whole series of books on following a Yaqui Indian around, eating strange, more or less mescaline. Another one writes another book. If you'd read the Brave New World, man, there were some chemicals you could take there that would change your mind, change your being, alter who you were, alter what you thought. All of those things to expand or not our mind. Now, what's the most recent one? Ayahuasca, something like that. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. If you don't get into the world of chemicals, you may not know what I'm speaking of here. But a lot of very important people are going down to the jungles of Brazil to get with a shaman down there that's showing them how to eat a special drug, that a special chemical that will expand your mind. You'll be way beyond what you were. We've been trying for generations chemically to change who we are. We want to be a bigger and bigger person all the time. So chemically, it's the power of a substance to alter one's state of being or mind, granting perceived new power. So it's believed here. Watch what these kids believed, that if they ate from this tree, they would step up a notch from where they were. Instead of just being the supreme commander of the whole earth, what if you could be the supreme commander of the whole cosmos? And if you eat this tree, that's what will happen. It's the alteration of purpose from the alteration of mind. So their mind gets changed now. Now they're not sure about their purpose anymore. Matter of fact, they now believe they're supposed to do something about the knowledge of good and evil. The purpose of taking care of everything gets changed because they changed their mind. They changed their mind through a chemical, all right? And now they think they're somebody they weren't. It's the delusion of sovereignty without cost or free will. That's being able to make a choice without consequences. It's not your world. Now, I mean simply by that, when you fall into that trap of believing that this chemical... There's a number of others who are pretty fantastic people who are also expanding their mind through different brain drugs right now, making their mind and their brain bigger and better all the time. That's also going on. That's a chemical change. And what's it for? To get us back to the status we were in before. It's to get us back to a status where we knew everything. The whole universe was open to us. Let me get on to the next one. But it's a delusion to believe that you're really sovereign. You're really in charge of something and that it doesn't have any consequences. It won't cost you anything. How many people do you suppose have gotten into chemicals that they didn't think would cost them anything? They wound up later realizing it's going to cost your life. The second attempt. The second attempt that we have made to regain that godness is genetic modification. Genetic modification. Turn to Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. They were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. That's the Nephilim. So here's what's going on. It's modifying humanity by stepping up one's being. So look at this. What they did here were angelic beings who came to earth. They're obviously a step above whatever people are. These are angelic beings. They've got different powers than humans did. They're not in charge of the earth. They're in charge of the cosmos. So they got some different powers than the people did. Now, one of those comes to you and asks for your daughter's hand in marriage. You're going to say, yeah, you're a different sort of being. Yes, I am. But I have power, great power. If I gave my daughter to him, what would my grandkids be like? They could be great power. They could have great divine power, supernatural power. And they gave to each other. And the children that were born to them were genetically modified children. They're not just human anymore. They've got some other genetic modification inside them that's changed them completely. And they are powerful, powerful people beings. That's a genetic modification to change you into a step up, to make you think that you're actually rising from being this normal human now. Let's face it. Back here when Adam and Eve were in charge of everything, they're top dog. Once they got kicked out of the garden, they're still high on the chain. But they've lost the power and authority they had before. They're not co-laborers with God now, and they're having to work with a world that is not cooperating. If you saw the chance to be a better person, to be a person who has more power and authority, you took it. Unfortunately, it just kept going on and on and on and on and on until there was a whole generation created that God said, I can't let this live. This is not human anymore. This is not coming after its own kind. This is not after the image of Adam. This is something totally different. This cannot go on. I'm going to have to destroy the whole thing. And that's what he did with that flood, kids. This desire to bring things up a step and become divine was a disaster. All right, let me go on further with you. That created demigods. That created the Nephilim. It was a belief then in elite superiority. Am I better than you? If I have in me this demigod stuff, if I have in me a new kind of power and you don't have it, then I am superior to you. And because that belief in an elite superiority was available, you are expendable. And violence started taking over the whole earth. So what you wind up with is dominion over others by force, coercion, intimidation, and violence. You say, where are you getting all that? Right here, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. He said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds in the air, for I'm sorry that I've made them. It was full of violence. That was what was going on with this new set of beings, supposed to be higher. They're destroying everybody. They're destroying all the lessers. Can I say, always be aware of an elite who believes they're superior to you. Your destruction is on its way. It always has been that way, and it always will be that way. All right. Third attempt. The third attempt was technology. The third attempt was technology. Genesis 11. In Genesis 11, we're having some people who just got off the ark. Eight of them. They just got off the ark, and they're starting to have children. Now, let me ask you. When you've been on the ark for over a year, what have you been doing? Well, you've been mostly feeding animals. You've been taking care of whatever goes on after you feed animals. So you got to get that off the ark some way or another. You got all of that that's going on. And you're finally back on dry land, and you hear God say to you, scatter out. And you take off walking around. You've got families now. You're starting to get tribes together. There's starting to be a lot more of you. And you come to this beautiful plain. It looks really great. And you decide that instead of scattering out, you're going to live there. Now, you've been living on the ark. What else have you been doing while you're on the ark? Watch what they did. They began to use technology. They started mixing together some soil parts and some sticky parts together, and they start making bricks, and they start making mortar for those bricks. And now they're using their technology in a way to figure out, listen, I don't know about you, has anybody ever built a tall structure? I know it's one thing to build a house. My dad built a house, and boy, did we have to, he's shooting with his transit. He's doing all kinds of things to make sure that we're square and level, little bubble things all over the place, make sure it's all square and level, because the house has to be on a level ground or it'll fall apart. They're building a city and a tower. And they're building it big enough it'll reach into heaven. And they're learning new technological skills all the time to get that done. That didn't work real well. This kind of brick can't stand that kind of pressure. What I'm going to ask you, once you start getting a building up a few feet in the air, you have to start considering, how much weight have I just put on the foundation stones? How much weight did I just put on this brick I just made? And if it starts cracking and crushing a little bit, you change the recipe of how you made the brick. That's called technology, kids. And to figure out how you're going to lay each of those and make sure that they're level, you got to have some technology. Everybody follow where I'm coming from? So they're using those technological advances to create for themselves a better and better person all the time. Now, watch with me here. It says, in chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make the name for ourselves. I know it says a name, but in the Hebrew it actually says, let us make the name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They were declaring their independence from God. That's what they're doing. Because God is known as the name. And what they're doing is saying, we will be known as the name. We'll be our own gods. And their technology was convincing them that they could do anything they want. Let me just show you that that's not the only one who thought that. Look, if you would, verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. They all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Who said that? That wasn't their own self-assessment. That is what God said of them. Now, their technological advances, how does he know they're going to increase in their technology? Because he made them. He has put in them creativity. And he knows that they have the ability to think their way through how to build things, how to increase in their technology. He knows that if they get this thing together, matter of fact, his assessment is they will do anything they want to do. This technology is creating a new reality through technological advancements. Go on to page 2. Get my paperclip off there. Not only that, the technology is giving them the delusion of divinity from the power to create and manipulate. They're saying, now we're in control. We have our whole destiny before us, and we're in need. We're in control of this thing. That's what what this tower is helping them grasp for themselves. They were in need of nothing, for we can make it without consultation or aid. They didn't ask God if they could build a tower. Matter of fact, God told them to scatter out. They're not seeking God at all. They are working this whole thing without the aid of God. They used a chemical without the aid of God to make themselves better. They used angels as they intermarried with the angels without the aid of God to make their life a better life, to raise themselves up. Now they're using technology without the aid of God to raise themselves up. And they're working under a delusion that they're in control. All they are doing is taking God's stuff, rearranging it, and building something from it. They're taking advantage of the laws that God put within that whole earth to get it done. All right. Let's go to the fourth attempt. The fourth attempt was giving personality to the inorganic. Giving personality to the inorganic. What do I mean by that? Now, I have to go through the whole Bible on this one, but let me just share this one with you. They began to create for them. Let's go to Romans 1. We'll go to Romans 1. I'll give you that one. All right. God's going to ask people a big question about what they think they're doing. I think we can capture that whole thought right in Romans chapter 1. We'll pick up our reading of verse 18, and I think you'll see it as we come to it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. They created idols. Idolatry is giving life to the inorganic. They believe that in creating these idol images, that the idol image actually spoke to them. It would talk to them. They did seances before it. They did all sorts of rituals before it. They were giving a divinity or a special personality, I'll say, to the inorganic. That was idolatry. They began to use rhythmic, chemical, and spiritual manipulation, magic. They now had realized, once they set this idol thing up here, well, here's a good idol. Oh. Now, with this idol set up, it's not tall enough for everybody to see. With this idol set up, they now understood that using chemicals, using spiritual power they're getting from on high, they could do certain enchantments around it, certain music around it, certain beats around it. As long as they did them again and again and again, this thing would ultimately speak to them. This thing would be, and listen, kids, I don't doubt that it probably did speak to them. For the scriptures teach us that behind every idol is a demon. I don't doubt that this probably did speak to them, the demon that was within it speaking to them. But what that's going to do is create a whole magical way of doing things. And if I could say further, got to get done. The capacity of mind to be numbed by what it cannot explain. And then in the numbing, giving submission to it. So you're in a part of this ritual. You've got the drum beats going, everything's going, and now you have been taken over by the spirit of that idol. And as you're doing it, it's an amazing thing. You can't explain what's happening. You're numbed by what's happening, but you're willing to submit to what's happening. And that's what was going on in these rituals. That was the danger of the idolatry that was going on. So they're giving their sounds, they're beating the drums, they're playing the music. It's all getting them all excited, and they're thinking this thing is alive. That's giving the personality to the inorganic. This is just metal. It couldn't speak, and that's what God made fun of several times through the scriptures. Why are you worshiping these things? They can't speak, they can't hear you, they don't know anything. Why are you doing this? Okay? So, that gave them the delusion or escape from reality that assumes a parallel world exists independent of God. Now, does a parallel world exist? Yes. The angels are living on a realm that you and I are not free to get into. There are times that people do get into that realm, especially when they go through these chants and this sort of thing. You do enter into that realm, but it's independent of God. It's not a parallel world independent of God. It's a parallel entry without the aid of God. It's trying to get into a world that is not your world by independent of God. You see where I'm coming from? If you're understanding, go like this. If you're already saying, this is dumb, I don't know what you're talking about anymore. You pass me. Well, anyway, here we go. Number five, the illusion of shamanic power as the same as God. So there's going to be a shaman who's actually close to this idol. He has intense relationships with this idol. And he's able then to take you into the presence of that idol and bring healing. Bring you some freedom. He's doing all kinds of things, all independent of God. If all we're coming from, kids, that's the lie. That is the lie. You say, why do you keep bringing up? Why is that so important? Well, I think you're probably at Romans chapter 1, aren't you? Still at 1? Okay, look with me. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 just a minute. Read a little while here. We're going to be in verse 26. Let's start with 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for... No, notice that. That's not a lie. It's the lie. They gave up the truth of God for the lie. What is the lie? You can be a god independent of God. You don't need God. Matter of fact, here's this whole independent world we've set up over here that you can have great power and authority. Matter of fact, guys used this very kind of power stuff when they went into battle. They would go in there and, you remember, was it Rabshakeh, or one of the names there, when Isaiah was alive and Hezekiah was alive, and he's telling them, have any of the gods been able to withstand my great God? Have any of the gods been able to overwhelm me, overcome me? No. Give up. Do you think Yahweh can overcome me? My great God does these things. They were using this as the power over the whole world. It was the idolatry and the ministry of those angelic beings who now call themselves gods that they were using. Kids, that's the lie. Look with 2 Thessalonians just a minute. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, all of these things were happening from the time of creation pretty much all the way through the flood itself. That's the kind of stuff that was going on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, I didn't go far enough. I'll get there in a minute. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God. That's the one we call the Antichrist, so that's what he's going to be doing. Do you not remember when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So the whatever's going to be the end times is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. So the Antichrist is going to be shown, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will give them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. What's the lie? That you can be God, independent from God. You can declare your own independence. You don't have to be submitted to him. You get the picture? This thing here that's coming is going to be given all kinds of power to do lying signs and wonders. And the people of that day, because they have been prepared for it, are going to accept the lie that you can be God apart from God. Because God's going to give them strong delusion to believe that lie. Now, why is that important? The scriptures tell us that in that day, the last days, they'll be just like the days of Noah were. What were the days of Noah like? Chemical alteration, genetic modification, extreme technology, and giving personality to the inorganic. Let me take you through that. Chemicals, we now have modifiers and mind-altering things that give us dependence upon pharmaceuticals to heal. We're very pharmaceutical dependent. And there's been nothing like the pandemic to show you what dangerous that is. When we couldn't find masks, where were they? In China. When we couldn't find the chemicals we needed to take to get well, where were they? In China. Because we had sent all of our technology someplace else to do it cheaper. You can do it with slave labor better than you can do with this doggone union labor you got to have over here. So make it cheaper. Let's depend on that. Then we got dependent upon the pharmaceuticals. If you see well, we'll get to it when we get to Revelation. On genetic modification, there's a whole lot going on with transhumanism and genetic alteration. You know, I was reading the other day, I see BJ here. BJ, do you know that they took a gene out of an Arctic fish and they put that gene into a potato to keep the potato from being harmed by frost? And it worked. I thought you did. Okay, well, all right. Anyway, are you hearing what that was? Poison from a Brazilian frog, an Amazonian frog, gets placed in a soybean because the poison from the Brazilian frog is resistant to Roundup. And it worked. So that you could have a genetically modified bean that contains a gene from a poison frog so that you can spray everybody else's soybeans with Roundup and they'll die. But yours won't. Now, that's one thing when you're talking about plants, isn't it? What are you doing when you're talking about people? How is it when you start modifying the genes of people that you're not back to Genesis 6? Technology. There's biological and cyborg technology. You know, I thought, you know, I'm going to be preaching this today, and Larry Insweiler won't be here. He's a Trekkie. And he won't know that I spoke about cyborgs. That should get him excited. Cyborg is the combination of the non-human with the human technology you can place inside that human so that the human is now different from what he was. Get new powers, new kinds of things going for him. Biologically, we did that with Captain America. And we all know Captain America's real, right? What I'm saying is, in order to step up into a new level, we're doing the same things that were done in the days of Noah. Does that make any sense to you? Giving personality to the inorganic, there is a massive new paganism revival. That's believing in Thor. That's believing in Luke. It's believing in all of those gods there were before and giving them all kinds of credit. Trees, all kinds of things that are now being said to be talking to you. But even worse, when we're creating an artificial intelligence, when our technology is taken to the place that we can take the inorganic and give it the capacity to think like a human. Kids, that should be frightening to us. But it's going to happen. Why? Because my father already said that. His son already told us 2,000 years ago, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be when the time of the end comes. All right? God's giving them the delusion to believe the lie. And if I can say, we just entered some time ago, fifth generation warfare. Now, let me see if I can explain what that means. Fifth generation warfare is the warfare of no uniforms, no real need for kinetic battles. In other words, you're not firing at each other. You're not beating on each other. You're not whipping each other with sticks or whatever else. Now you do it with information. You do it with misinformation. This last year has been an evidence of fifth generation warfare. We're in it. And we'll continue to be in it because it's all about information. It's all about deluding people. It's all about giving people a delusion to believe the lie. That's the generation we're in. Now, next week, what I want to talk to you about is what this is about. What God really intended for us. What was it that God had in mind? What were we supposed to be? What was Adam and Eve, and what were we supposed to be coming from that? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for the kindness you show to us every day. We ask, Father, just now that in the name of Jesus, you'll burn into our minds and our hearts faith for the Lord Jesus Christ and remaining true to the Creator himself and what the Creator created. Thank you for what you're doing in us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me just say this. If you're here this morning and you do not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, may I suggest today will be the day. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't keep trying to turn over a new leaf and do something different. That'll be hollow for you. God's calling you to believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to turn from believing in anything else as if you could do things independent of God.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.